just send it to the national level for basically just make sure it didn't have any glaring problems. And it was just a formality. They'd send it back and time would go and things would progress. But the new Minister for Environment, what I'm told is that he realized there was a lot of corruption at the local level and a lot of bribes being paid and things were being approved that maybe shouldn't have been approved. So he wanted to move the corruption to the, I mean, he wanted to move the approvals to the national level so that they could verify everything and then it goes back. So the whole process changed last year a couple months before we were ready to submit. And so it's been quite the learning process. Thankfully, you know, our God sees ahead. And he directed us, even before we began, we brought an attorney on retainer, which sounds really expensive. But for the entire project, from the time we began selecting the company that would do the project, through the design process, the construction of the first phase, and ultimately through the last phase, his bill is $4,000 total. So praise the Lord for that. And it's in three payments, so it's been he saved us that much already. And so we have a contractor with a lot of experience and a ceiling cost established for the project so it won't exceed. And they're responsible for the approvals instead of us. So when all this changed, well, that's on them instead of us. So God was saving us a lot of headache and putting it on our contractor. But that's their job, right? So thankful that God was looking out for us ahead of time and guiding in that. But pray for us as we go through this process because it is going to be different, something new. I've never managed a construction project, definitely not in Africa. But God has built many churches there and buildings, and so we're looking forward to see what he will do. He's already been blessing in our church offerings, and our church is a really generous giving church, and it will take a while, but God has still been providing and looking forward to see how he'll continue to provide, hoping to be able to break ground. I'd love to do that this year. I don't want to set dates, but they say once we get the last signature, then another month. So when will their crew be ready to start? It would be nice to see some ground movement there at our new place. So pray for us as we go through that process. But not just, you know, the church is not the building. The church is the people. And so our true focus in church building is not structural. It's the people. And so we have really been trying to focus especially the last year and a half, of training the church leaders and being able to hand over responsibilities to them instead of us as missionaries being the one coordinating it. Of course, the pastor is still overseeing, but let the nationals take on those leadership roles in coordinating some of the different aspects. And that's also been a learning curve for me. I've never been a senior pastor before. I've never planted a church before. And God has brought people to give us counsel and to guide us and given us some really good membership in our church, but it's still a process. So pray as we do that. We have several, I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, there are several that are able to teach Sunday school now, several that are able to teach the children, teach the teens. We have others that are leading prayer meeting, and we kind of take turns because I don't want to not do it, so we take turns doing it. But it's been a blessing to see them mature and grow, and then you go to them and say, hey, would you be interested in serving in this? And like, well, why not? And then they begin in something new and just seeing God stretch them and grow their faith, but also work through them. So pray with us as we continue to hand those over. God is not identified to us. I'm sure he knows who will be the next pastor, the national pastor of the church. He's not shown that to me yet, but our prayer is that we'll have a good team of membership leadership that can handle a lot of the different ministries so that he can focus on the ministry of the word and shepherding the flock, and they can continue on with more of the administrative side as he learns that and gets to know the church. So that's kind of the trajectory we're on, so pray with us. Those are the two big building things, the structure, but especially the leadership of the church. But God is doing great things, and it's really exciting. And you're missing out going to Sorority, but that's fine if that's where God has called you. She was with us for, what, 8 months? 7, 8 months? And a blessing to our church, and then went up to Sorority and surveyed and served there for about 6 months. And God used that time to direct her back to Sorority. We're glad you'll be in country and can visit, but our church has fond memories and looks forward to her visits when she came down from Sorority. But she's been a blessing, and I know she'll be a blessing tonight as she gives her report. I'm going to ask you if you'll turn to the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 10. One of the things that is so enjoyable about Uganda, a little taste of heaven, I would say, and not just Uganda, but other places too, but is the diversity that we have there. In Sorority, in our church services, we'd have about half a dozen Ugandan tribes represented in a typical Sunday morning service. The town itself is probably about half the population is Ateso, the primary tribe, and the other half is a blend of other tribes. But down in the capital city metro, it's even more diverse. On a typical Sunday morning for us, we'll have about 12 Ugandan tribes, each speaking a different language. No, we're not speaking in tongues, but, well, they're known tongues, but try to greet them as much as possible in their language. But English is our national language. It's the trade language. It's what education is, the language for education from third grade on up, or what's supposed to be from third grade on up. Most schools deviate, but so English is fairly common there among at least those that are educated through the end of elementary school. And so we do primary our ministry in English, though we will try to minister to people in their language when necessary. But having that variety is really exciting because they each bring a little bit of that culture into the church and into the body. And it's really exciting. And we also have Congolese that are there. We have a Nigerian family that's there, sometimes Rwandese, Kenyans that come, and of course Americans. And we bring our own set of challenges. But anyway, it's just a nice diversity to see, because in heaven, out of every kingdom, every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And so we get a little bit of a taste of that. But when you have 12 tribes, inevitably you're going to have people from tribes that at one time didn't like each other very much. In fact, in Sorority, the Teso tribe is a descendant of the Karamojong tribe. They call them the uncles or the grandparents. Actually, the Karamojong, Amojong means the old ones. So they are of the old ones, that tribe. And when the Ateso left to go down to more fertile pasture lands, the old people said, you are going to your graves. And the Ateso literally mean to the graves. But they were related. But then after time, battles over cattle, they fought against each other. And great loss of life over the last 2-3 decades. It's calmed down now, but there was a real hatred for some, because, you know, if your brother was killed by their warriors, it's not like you really want to be friendly with them, right? There are tribes even that haven't warred against each other, but just because of prejudice, because of culture, this tribe will say, my son, my daughter will never marry someone from that tribe. And yet we find as people come to Christ and they realize that we're in a new family and we are one family in Christ. We have people of different tribes, different income levels. We have people with, you know, master's degrees and PhDs ushering next to people that make $40 a month as a security guard and haven't even completed elementary school. And they're able to worship God together because we are one family. And it's beautiful to see them standing up, singing in choir next to people. You know, our choir has like 8 tribes in it. And they're just, that's why we sing in English, so that we can understand what they're saying. But there's a unity that we have because of Jesus Christ. And for us as Gentiles with other Gentiles, that might be a little bit easier for us, but that was a real obstacle for the Jews back in the first century. And we see in Acts chapter 10, we're introduced to a centurion here. And in Acts 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, this was not a musical group. This was an identification of a military unit, the Italian Band. And if you recall, Israel had been taken captive. We read about that this morning in Sunday school. They were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. Then Babylon was overthrown by the Medes and the Persians. Cyrus, the Persian king, allowed them to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. Eventually, Persia was overthrown by Greece and Greece by Rome, and that's the setting where we are now. So the Roman government still controls Israel. They're not independent. They have their own, they're allowed to function religiously, but politically, they are under the thumb of Rome. What country is Rome in? Italy. Cornelius was a centurion of the Italian band. This is not someone who was also captured maybe over in Turkey or down in Egypt and then was thrust into the army by force as a conscript. This is somebody who was born a citizen of the occupying force. There would be a lot more tension if Russia, instead of going into Ukraine, had come across Alaska into Canada and now occupied New York, and then a Russian soldier comes into church. Would there be some tension, do you think? That was the setting that emotionally, if we can imagine what that would be like for us, that Cornelius, as a centurion of the Italian band, would appear to the Jewish community. But we find in verse 2 that this centurion, this Italian, was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Not yet saved, but God-fearing. Somebody who had a respect, had been exposed. He had seen some light and wanted to come to the light and wanted more and was praying, God, show me more. And I believe that that the grace of God, which brings salvation, hath appeared to all men. And all men have the capacity to come to Jesus Christ. And as you respond to the grace that God has given, He will, in His grace, give more as we respond to that. And here we see that example in Cornelius. So in verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. I would be too. He was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Simon Peter, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, because it's like God's writing about what I would have done had I been in Simon Peter's place. You know, you read through the Gospels and Simon Peter was bold. Many times he spoke before he really thought things through, but he was bold. And he matured. And Lord willing, we're all maturing spiritually and with our filters, right? So Simon Peter here, we find that he was lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And that God told Cornelius, He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So Simon Peter. Simon Peter was up and on the next day, in verse 9, we find on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Cornelius obeyed, sent people, and as they're coming, Simon Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour and became very hungry. That's how we know he was a Baptist preacher, right? So he became very hungry and he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. See, at this time, there was no McDonald's. There's no drive-thru. I mean, I don't know, maybe they had chariot drive-thrus, you know. I don't know if they had the little bar with the clearance, I don't know. But they didn't have those. In Uganda, we don't have fast food. In fact, I was surprised early on when we first moved to Uganda, and it's a six-hour drive up to Sirodi, and we're coming up, you know, winding through the roads, coming up into a town, and there's this restaurant, and I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but it advertised they have slow food. Now, we think of that term and we're like, slow, but we would call that home cooking. Now, if I put that term, how many of you would rather have fast food or home cooking? Home cooking, right? Yeah. So if they say slow food, you're like, how slow are we talking about? It takes like 3 hours to cook beans, okay? So, you know, it's slow food, but it's the home cooking. It takes time to prepare a meal. There's not this, you know, there was no DoorDash then. That Simon Peter could say, I'm going to pray. Let me just order some DoorDash while I go to pray. And then I'll, you know, get a veggie wrap when I'm done. It wasn't happening. It took time. And so and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. It took a little bit of time. He was waiting. And during that, he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and what? Eat. Now, if you're hungry, what do you want to do? And the hungrier you get, the less discerning you are, right? Right? You know, if you're out hunting, camping, you know, and we're going to catch our own food or hunt our own food, and you've planned for 3 days and you went the first day and all you got was a minnow, you know, you're going to be less discerning about what you eat. We had some friends in Uganda. They were a little more adventurous than I would be. And as they were heading up to a village, they headed up the road and they were ministering in this village. And coming back, there was a monitor lizard on the side of the road. It had been hit by the vehicle. And in their mind, these are not small. Monitor lizards, they're like 6, 8, 10 feet long, potentially. And as they're coming back, he said to himself, well, that wasn't here when we went, so therefore this must be a fresh kill. The meat's still good. I wouldn't, anyway. But they ate it. They said it was really tough and chewy and stringy and fibrous, so I don't know if they ate lizard again. But anyway, the more hungry you become, the less discerning you tend to be. And so now here, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And there came a voice. It was from heaven that this came down. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And what was Peter's response? He knew who he was talking to. He's like, God, there's no way. Have you ever said that? We tend not to say it out loud. Most of us are a little bit discerning. I wouldn't say it out loud. I would never be in my prayer time and, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. But we'll do it at our pew when pastor's preaching, right? Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. You know, God was using something that would get Peter's attention. He was hungry. Yeah, that works for me. But instead of Peter saying, okay, he said, no. Just directly, no, not so, Lord. And not just once, because the voice came a second time and said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice. And Peter didn't kill and eat. Peter didn't actually eat an unclean animal here, but the point was that what God has cleansed, do not call common. And in this context, what God is saying here, what is common in this sense, something that is common would be something that's defiled, something that is pagan. And yet, God said, if it's been cleansed, don't call it common. If something is not common, it's something which has been set apart. Something which is, maybe we could use the word sanctified, something which is holy. Now, if you go to 1 Peter 2, you find Peter learned his lesson. And he realized that in Christ, we are all one in Jesus Christ. But at this point, Simon Peter is still understanding, you know, the commonness, something that is pagan. But if God has cleansed it, it's no longer common. Sometimes we can look and we know maybe somebody's history. And sometimes it's hard for us to see the way God sees that individual. To see them as redeemed. But they did this and they did this and they've done this in the past. But if God has cleansed it, it is special. It's been sanctified. It is holy. It's set apart. And maybe a bigger challenge for us is when we look at our own past. We say, but God, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. And he says, yes, but my son has done this. And we who have accepted Christ as our Savior, we are sanctified. We are cleansed. And there is not one of his children that is not such that he can use us for his glory. sometimes we still pollute ourselves, and he says, I can't use you when you've got that dirt in your lives. It's like a cup. In Uganda, we often, in the villages, they will come and they'll have a bowl of food and then plates. And because you're a visitor, they'll give you forks and a metal fork and spoon or plastic fork and spoon. I used to pack one with me just in case. But they would say, but Pastor, God has given you a fork and a spoon, so you just eat. But anyway, everyone has two forks and two spoons, so you can just eat. But every once in a while, because especially if it's like a wedding or a burial where there's a large group, they're recycling the plates. You know, somebody's gone through and eaten, and now they're washing them and then sending them right back to serve more food on. And you get some food, and it's got like some greens already on the side. And I didn't get greens on my plate. Now, what does that do to your hunger? See, our responsibility is not to make ourselves a vessel. We are a vessel that are sanctified and set apart, but we do need to keep a clean life so that as we give the bread of life to others, there's not these other things making them feel like, I don't know if I want to eat that. And so we have a vessel here that God says, if I've cleansed it, don't call it common. And we can apply this both externally when we look at others, but we can also apply it personally, internally. Regardless of your past, we are made a new creature in Jesus Christ. We have been set apart. We are sanctified. We are holy because He is holy and He has made us holy. And so Simon Peter's learning that here as this Italian Roman soldier sends three men. In verse 17, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which is surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? This time Peter doesn't argue. He didn't say, not so, Lord, this time. Interesting. How many times did the sheet come down? Three times. How many men came? Three. I don't know. God doesn't do things coincidentally. He does things purposely, but it is an interesting observation there. So now in real life, rather than in a vision, Peter does not argue. He would have had excuses. If we look over in chapter 11, verse 3, for time we won't read it, but he was accused later on. They said, you went and ate with uncircumcised men. What's wrong with you? You're a Jew. But Peter not only eats with them, he houses them. In verse 23, they stay with him. And then the next morning, he travels with them. He enters into this Gentile's house in verse 25. In verse 29, he says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. I'm not looking for money. Verse 26, we see that when Peter came, they worshipped him. He said, stand up, I myself also as a man. He wasn't doing it for his own worship. He wasn't doing it for his own popularity. He was doing what God had told him to do. And when it comes to missions, this is our missions month. You're not going to have a missionary in and not talk about missions. When we think about missions, you don't have to do it like the church down the road does it. But we need to be involved in it. Be sure we are doing it and doing it how God directs you. Peter went and did. This is what God had called him to do. He needed to go and do it. Sarah's going to do a different ministry than what we're doing. Because God has called us to the same country, praise the Lord, but doing things differently. God has called you as members of Seneca Bible Baptist Church. Not everyone's going to be the pastor. But everyone's supposed to be involved. Because we're a body. What happens to a body part that stops functioning? It dies and falls off. We're all supposed to be active parts of the body, the local body, but also the global body of Christ. We're supposed to be active in this. It doesn't have to do the same thing, but do what God has directed you to do. So Paul goes, Peter goes here, and notice what he does in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. Peter was good at that. Anyway, and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give him all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Do you notice what Peter does here? He goes and he preaches the gospel. He simply preaches the gospel. He didn't talk about the weather. He didn't discuss the economy. He didn't debate politics. He didn't ask, could you hassle us a little bit less? Could you tell your soldiers to be nice to us? He didn't ask for a gift for the poor, the vulnerable, the needy, the widows, for the church building fund. Amen. He didn't ask for those. He simply preached the gospel. That's missions. And that's our purpose as we go, whether it's here in Northwest New York or if it's in Uganda. And what was the result of preaching the gospel? Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They believed and they received the Holy Ghost. Now these were Gentiles. These weren't Jews. These were Gentiles who believed and they received the Holy Ghost. Are they now common? Or are they sanctified? They're sanctified. Verse 39 to 40. We're witnesses that Christ died and that he buried and he rose the third day. Verse 43. Through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus died, that he was buried and he rose again for you? If you do, you're not common. You're sanctified. You're special. Now, if you have not yet believed that, if you've not received his forgiveness of your sins, you can. Because whosoever, notice what that verse said. It said, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. There's still hope for you. The door is still open for you. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, he will take away your sins and give you his righteousness and make you God's child. You can receive that today. You can no longer be common, pagan, heathen, separated from God. You can be sanctified, holy, separated from this world and out of this world and sin, and made part of God's family. If you have received that gift, who are you telling? That's what Peter did, right? He went and he opened his mouth. Maybe a better question is, who are we not telling? Who is it that we say, not them, not those people? You know, they're unemployed. They couldn't even support the church. Not them. I mean, the guy looks like a Muslim. He might be a terrorist. We just had terror threats last week in Uganda, and they caught, they arrested 14 people now, found four bombs. One on a person walking into one of the mega churches in the capital city about 10 miles from our church. It still happens. We passed on the way here the Islamic Center for the Finger Lakes region. They're here. Well, I can't witness to them. Maybe they're Catholic, a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon. You know, their religion is just too different. They're not going to respond. There's no hope for them. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. Who is it that we say, well, you know, yes, I'll share the gospel, but not them. That was Peter. We might not say it verbally to God. No, I'm not going to witness to them. But what do our actions prove? Maybe instead of a prejudice, Maybe it's a person we don't feel qualified to evangelize. Well, I couldn't speak to them. Honestly, I'm shocked at the people God has brought to our church and given me the responsibility to pastor. We have two people that are PhD candidates. We have like six people with master's degrees. One is a senior manager in the second largest bank in the country. I mean, people that it blows my mind that God would bring them and let me be part of our church family with them. And sometimes we kind of have this idea that, well, I don't know how to talk to that person. I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how to relate to them. But I'm thankful today that God has not called me to be a light to their path and a lamp to his feet. He's given us his word to be a light to the path and a lamp to our feet. And our responsibility is not to convince them. Our responsibility is to share the word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing and not hearing Dan. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And we have that word. We have the ability. I'm just a lampstand holding forth the word of life. And so we can put aside that excuse that, well, you know, I just can't witness to them. Because maybe that's the challenge that we have in missions. Well, you know, God might call me to this people and, you know, I just can't stand their food. I can't stand their culture. I just don't like, are we really going to say, God, not so, Lord? Or will we go and say, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins? Who is it that in our minds is maybe just too common, too different? But God tells us, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Those who have Christ, holy. We are set apart. We are to be different and not to let these lies of Satan pollute our minds so that the bread of life doesn't look appetizing. As we said this morning in Sunday school, we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God knew what the world would be like. And he chose to put you in this time and in this place. And if God directs you to another time, to another place for this time, he will give you what you need for that place. To be a light, to share the light with those people. Who is it that we would be tempted to make the excuse and say, I know it's important, Lord, and I want to be a witness, just not them. Can we humble ourselves and say, I was one of them. Because without Christ, we were his enemies. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in Jesus Christ, we are a new creature. So we're no longer the them. We're his. And he wants whosoever to come to him and be saved. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a whosoever God. That you've come to seek and to save the lost, which we were. And perhaps today there's one who still is. I pray that you would give them the courage to come to Pastor Fenton, to myself, to one of the ushers, someone that's here today, so that we can take your word and show them not how this church can save them, because this church cannot, but to show them how you will save them because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. May they receive, maybe they have that faith today to be saved. And for we who have been saved, we are called by your name. You have made us your own. May we remember that it is 100% because of your grace, not because of our own goodness. We have no merit that qualifies it for us except the merit of Jesus Christ, which is a gift. May we put aside prejudice, but also put aside our fears and be a lampstand holding forth the word of life to others so that others would be drawn to you, not to us, but to you, that your kingdom would grow here in the Finger Lakes region, yes, but not just here, but around the world. I pray that you would stir the hearts of the families in this church, that there would be someone you would send from this church. Maybe to a neighboring county. Maybe to a neighboring state or country. Maybe to Africa. But that this church could send them, partner with them, stand with them, but reach beyond the current reach to bring the gospel to those who now are common. But you desire to make them clean. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Stand to our feet. We'll have an invitation. Sarah's just going to play the piano softly. And if you need to come today for anything at all, you can come. You need to examine yourself. Paul said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. How is your faith this morning? How is your salvation? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that? Are you 100% sure? You can't be 95% sure. It's either 100% or nothing. Christ died for every single human being. He died for you if you're not saved, and He wants to save your soul. He wants to give you that remission of sins that Brother Dan talked about. He wants to give you a home in heaven. He wants to give you eternal life. It's a free gift. It doesn't cost you anything. It costs Christ, though, everything. Christian, are you serving the Lord? What kind of a witness, what kind of a testimony are you? We need to ask ourselves that question.